Episode 3. Jordan and the Early Modern Period. Christian Exploration of the Age of Discovery. This period began in the 1400s and ended during the year 1794. This period was considered the Age of Discovery, or Exploration, as European nations began expanding outwards to explore the world. This age naturally intensified and revived cartography, and these new European maps gained rapid popularity by integrating a Christian worldview. This worldview was translated into world maps by placing Jerusalem in the center. The Holy Land representations of the maps indicated heavily that the exploration is Christian. During the 15th to 18th centuries, these particular maps included both banks of the Jordan connected across the unifying river. To start off with, I would like to talk about William Way, who was a famous traveler and author, who was born in 1407. During one of the most important years of his life, 1458, he created one of his most important maps drawn on a western-looking landscape, showing a series of populated settlements all the way down the eastern and western banks of the Jordan, as if they were medieval castles. The potentially dividing nature of the Jordan River is downplayed entirely to festival-like interpretation of the region. Way gives a very religious spin to the map, matching between existing places and biblical names. The Northern Lake, the lowest freshwater lake on Earth, is given four names on the map: Kinneret, Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, and Gennesaret. The Jordan and the other rivers are uniting rather than dividing force. Other maps include the 1459 Fra Moreau map, considered to be the most accurate of its age, drafted by the traveler soldier. During the year 1532, Jacob Ziegler attempted to draw a scientific map of the Levant, and the element of illusion was very obvious. In the upper left corner, the sea monster Leviathan dangerously approaches the sphere, representing the origin and longitude between the edges, showing the relationship between myth and science. On the other hand, the northwestern direction of the map is much easier to read for modern viewers than the Way map. As we progress within the ancient maps, we find the maps becoming progressively more legible. The Jordan River is strategically important at the heart of the map, but it is not a dividing force within it. There is a series of maps that host the major settlements. The Eastern Mountain Range, like many others of the era, acts as a barrier between the Bible region and the desert on the Ziegler map. The map shows the distance between the Eastern Mountains and other Eastern capitals such as Susa, Babylon, and Nineveh. The Mercator map of 1537, drafted by Gerardus Mercator from the country of Flanders, most famous for his world map project based on the Ziegler map, quotes on it, Fair reader greeting. We have drawn this map of Palestine and the Hebrews' route into it from Egypt through the stony regions of Arabia. Henricus Petrie's 1452 map is also based on the Ptolemy paradigm. The southeastern direction is virtually the exact opposite of the Ziegler map. There's a clear distinction between the east and west banks of Jordan. The eastern part is sparsely populated and has more forested areas and settlements. The eastern desert features animals, camel riders, Bedouin tents, and wells, which it seems the user has difficulty pumping. A sequence of towns and villages of east of the desert along the Jordan seems to be the barrier between civilization and nature. There's a transfigured Christ who points to salvation in the west, just west of the Sea of Galilee. The 1569 map of Bologna del Terzo in Venice follows the style of Madaba's map, rather than the map of Ptolemy more than any other coast. This is a characteristic of nature. On the corridor between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea is a line of concentrated trees that form a corridor emphasizing the boundary between the Jordan and the Dead Sea. Rachel Haverlock in The Jordan River in Ancient and Modern Times describes the river as a lifeline of the region. The river flows into Lake Hula, which is north of the Jordan, and as described in the Bible, a twin fountain called Jor and Dan. A bridge named after James appears just south of Samaconite's Lake, and a Roman bridge crosses the river south of the Sea of Galilee. The map of Zelteri, like its predecessor, uses biblical symbols intensively to define the region. There are a few landscapes on the east side. The sporadic peaks are intensive. The map gives an aerial perspective of the Holy Land and is spacious and open. We see the Jordan River lined with trees on both banks and incorporating miniature city views, as well as a compass. We see Moses standing on the peak of Mount Nebo in Moab. We see the Dead Sea cities engulfed in flames on the map. We also see that on the east bank of the Jordan the figure of Absalom, King David's third son, who raised a revolt in Hebron, hanging by his hair from a tree. In 1970, Abraham Ortelius's map of the Theatrum Orbis Terrarum, the first modern atlas, was drafted, which has been described as loaded with theological, eschatological, and ultimately pericolonial restorationism. Ortelius's was a Brabantian cartographer, geographer, and cartographer. I will zoom in most on this section on the first world map to have identified Petra on it. Ulrich Bellwald, a Swiss archaeologist, notes, "The first map which I detected as showing the exact location of Petra, including an abbreviated view of the city surrounded by mountains, was the one in Pelloso Colonia in Rome. On a map drawn by Bartolomeo Bonomi in 1572, commissioned by Marc Antonio Colonia, an Italian aristocrat serving the Spanish crown. The map is named Portolano del Mediterraneo, or simply Mediterranean Port. Bartolomeo Bonomi was neither surveyor nor engineer, rather an illustrator and engraver." Take a listen to how Dr. Bellwald discovered the map of Petra.
"And when I walked around in this throne room, I discovered a map which is maybe half a meter long and 30 centimeters high. And the shape of this map was absolutely showed clearly that it must be a naval map of Turkish Ottoman origin."
"Yep."
"And then I saw that it was dedicated to Marc Antonio Colonna, which was the commander of the papal navy during the Battle of Lepanto in 1571. And it was made by an Italian geographer, this map in the Palazzo Colonna, but it was obvious that it was a copy of a Turkish Ottoman map, most probably drawn by Piri Reis, the commander of the Ottoman fleet. And when I had a closer look on this map, I discovered that there is a very small icon, like we have it as a small icon in the computer, an icon clearly showing Petra. It was an icon, you saw a city with some major buildings and all surrounded by rocks, by rock cliffs. So it was clear and it was exactly in the right position. And there were the lines showing its exact longitude and all the surveying dates."
Colonia fought in the Battle of Lepanto as an admiral in 1571, where the Ottoman Empire defeated a group of Catholic states organized under Pope Pius V. The models for the map are assumed to have originated with the Ottomans. Indeed, Colonia references Kitab-i-Bahriye, which in English means the Book of Navigation, by Haji Ahmed Muhyiddin Piri, published in 1521 as the source. On Piri's map, we see cities such as Petra and Damascus in addition to the major ports. The implication of these maps are such that Swiss Johann Ludwig Burckhardt, who in 1812 discovered Petra, introduced it to the West as a famous Orientalist, ultimately went there with full knowledge that Petra must be located within the Mahdi Musa region. Piri's second edition was printed in 1525. By the third, it had gained even more popularity and included maps that were more modern from the Italian cartographers Jacopo Gastaldi and Battista Agnese and the Dutch Abraham Ortelius. The fact that Western cartographers were featured in an Eastern atlas shows the influence and cooperation between the two worlds through maps. The northwest orientation of the maps of Europe in the 17th and 18th century is consistently used. Maps of this period are fairly uniform in terms of the amount of data contained, whether or not they contain place names, and whether or not they contain decorative features. All of them include the eastern bank of the Jordan River, and most of them also include the eastern desert. These maps are not interested in modern settlements and preserve and reconstruct the biblical kingdom. In other words, the geographical projection of the map recreates historic Israel while creating a completely Christian environment. Other maps include Christian van Adrichem, a Dutch priest in 1590, a 1620 translation into Hebrew of this map by Jacob ben Abraham Zadir, a 1655 map by Christoph Heinemann from his Palestina Suite Sancta, a 1657 map by Philippe de la Roux, others in 1714 by Adrian Reynolds, a Dutch Orientalist scholar, cartographer, and philologist, 1745 by Richard Pocock, an English-born churchman, inveterate traveler, and travel writer, depicting the Holy Land in Syria, and 1794 by the French Jean-Baptiste d'Anville, who improved the standards of map-making. It is during this period that we see the beginning of a movement towards more scientific and accurate drafting of the physical landscape. However, the Christian worldview dominates, and maps continue to celebrate religion. During this time, there are also more of a focus on orientation. It generally appears that how far east the maps extend depends heavily on the data sources of the maps, from religious or historical and political sources. In addition, we see some Western cartographers starting to internalize the Ottoman rule boundaries, a topic we'll explore more in the next section. Thank you so much for listening.